listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2... Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to the fellow on my right.
Ahoy.
Ahoy to the fellow on my left.
Ahoy.
Don't know why you went off, Mike.
I tried to sound on the left.
Oh,
like,
yeah, okay.
People speakers, but gee, I don't think it works like that.
If that worked, that was clever. that was elite mic technique from Jack.
He's good, isn't he, Jack?
He's good.
he's really good. And ahoy to all. Look, happy to be back.
Yeah.
There's been some things that we've got to get to. Before that, though, John Norway has...
Let's have the traditional celebrating of someone who has managed to navigate an absolute nightmare of pop-up menus and attach an audio file.
Very simple, on the website. John's told us what he's up to today.
Hello, Hamish, Andy and Jack. This is John Eric from Norway calling. The guy who didn't answer the phone, even though he said he always picked up the phone, so I'm sorry about that. Right now I'm on a beach in Greece on holiday, not too far away from Hamish, who I saw was on a boat in Italy. And I'm feeling quite lightheaded, so I think being Norwegian, I might have a little bit of heat stroke because I'm not really used to any sun. So, enjoying the podcast. Keep up the good work. Goodbye.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of things strike me there. It's an oldie.
Yep.
Because he's...
There's so many to get through.
Well, it's so that's in the idea of how long it takes you to load a file on. I was on a boat in Greece in July, and it's so taken him that long to attach it. Hmm. He also does think he's calling. So he yearns for WhatsApp, but he's obviously recording it on his phone because he's like, it's nice to be on the phone to you. Bye-bye.
The thing is, he was the guy that said he always answers his phone.
Yeah,
we did use him back in the podcast.
He had a chance
to win a coin.
I know.
Didn't pick up. It's tough for him, though.
Great to know he stayed with us, though.
Yeah.
After
the despair.
That heartbreak. Speaking of despair, Ando.
Yes. We've got to... Let's just tackle this head on.
Let's get down to it.
Yep. I just presented you with some answers.
Yeah.
You didn't like them?
Well, you presented me with some numbers. You seemed resistant when I dug into them a little more. We're, of course, talking about our Black Tire Chicken event to celebrate the best of the one-off chicken stores across Australia.
Now, do you want the chicken dance music? It doesn't feel like
No.
Good call, Jack.
Is there some sort of serious orchestral version from a more like an art house chicken film type version of the chicken dance, the Wallace and Gromit
can someone send one in
type animation movie Chicken Run? Is there ever an art house darker version of that? Use that music.
I don't know the film, if there is one.
Yeah. And it won't be in our system, which is notoriously bad at returning search results.
I was doing maths to you.
Well, let's start with the maths for the people, because let's start from a zoomed out perspective.
Yep.
What do we want to do? We want to celebrate one-off chicken shops.
Yeah.
We want to reward the owners of the top 10 or so in Australia by bringing them together in an area where people can sample the fares of the best one-off chicken shops.
Mm.
And whilst doing that, they can enjoy the music of Peking Chook.
Yep.
A renamed Peking Duck.
But we haven't confirmed them either, mate.
Haven't confirmed.
I suppose we could play them off Spotify.
we really could. And there's nothing they can do about that.
So people could go and enjoy
but
the music.
At the moment, what we're looking at too, because what we're doing is we're taking a restaurant away from its home ground.
Mm.
We're putting 10 of them together at a place, at a venue, and inviting people to come along. And that's carrying with it, I'm finding out now, some cost.
Should I say the cost? It's $115,000 at the moment.
Which doesn't include chickens.
No.
We're saying we're working off roughly 1,000 person capacity.
Yep.
1,000 to 2,000 people. That's
no one's paying $115 a ticket to come and sit in a velodrome, no matter how much
at the moment,
we play on Spotify.
We're looking at a velodrome as the venue because it's got sloped walls, which we will grease with chicken grease, which stops people running away once they realise they've been overcharged for a ticket. They run up the side, they slip back down. And we keep them at the concert. We could charge people per minute they're there.
Yeah.
I suppose you could charge people $2 a minute. This is going to cost us more because we'll have to get like wristbands or monitors and just go, while you're in here, it's $2 a minute. if while you're on site. Now, you don't have to stay. don't have to stay, but it's linked to your credit card.
Yeah.
And then we deliberately choke off the chicken supply.
Okay.
We create longer queues and we grease up the velodrome to remove escape routes. And that way you've got a good 1,000 or so people in there trapped and squirming and as angry. But
we've saved, broken even.
But racking up those minutes.
Yeah.
All we have to do is keep them in there for 100 minutes.
Yeah.
And at $1 a minute, we would have paid. With 1,000 people, we would have
made
it back. But
no,
then you
no,
say
we'd
to
make a 15 grand loss. No.
Yeah, so, but then you sort of say to yourself, was it worth it? Because you'd have taken 1,000 of the best people that listen to this show and trapped them and greased them up and tumbled them around and, you know, all the effort you've got just to break even.
And in a proper review, we get to the bottom of whether that was worth it. But
you haven't even given out the award.
No. And so, anyway, I said to you, Haim, we're looking at a loss and that's okay.
Anyway, we were like, what would you really pay? Say we did get Peking Chook, haven't even asked them. Say we get it. So you got Peking Chook there, they go,
35 to 50 bucks, I reckon, is fair to go and see a band.
And that's not including
an amazing award.
And then you've got to pick which chicken shop you want to go to, line up, buy your chicken and chips, buy your drinks and alcohol.
Meet good people, share a laugh.
We haven't asked any of the listeners, we haven't run this past people. That seems like a fair price, but again, we're consumers ourselves. We go to events like this, that seems high-ish.
Yeah, and that also means we make a 60 grand loss.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
So even with us going, that'd be fine, we're still making a 60 grand.
Still in the hole. A deep hole.
Yeah,
a money hole. All right, and that's fine. Look, the money's not my issue. Money's not my region. Mm. What I'm looking at doing here is just going...
You said you had a solution. You said, let's talk about it because I've got a solution.
I said, okay, when you were pitching, you know, off air just a couple of moments ago, you're throwing all these numbers going, we're looking at 60 grand loss here, 80 grand loss. And we're doing it bare, but we're bare bonesing it. I guess it just costs a lot of money to put on events, and this is not a normal event.
Mm.
And we don't want to sponsor it. We want to keep this real. It turns out that by keeping it real, you are just reload. You're either taking a giant hit or you're reloading the costs onto the people that would have been happy to look at a sign that said MasterCard. They don't give a shit.
Yeah, exactly.
For some reason.
So I think what we could revisit the sponsorship model.
Yep.
But we could make it non.
It's got to be a non-chicken. It's got to be a non,
you know,
category sponsor.
Yep.
It would have to be a MasterCard or a Google. Right. Yep. Really
so
interested
if you're
in
a huge
tech company.
If you're a big tech company or any big company,
absolutely love
please
that.
Hit us up at the contact form on the website.
Big four banks, one of the big four, one of the small five.
Yep.
Mining. Prefer not to have the fossil fuel industry sponsoring it. That's a personal choice.
I wouldn't let that sink the festival, though.
Are you?
Your personal choice.
I don't want the Adani mine sponsoring it. I don't think we can stoop that low, mate. There is another option that popped into my head as we were discussing it. And I thought, okay, maybe I'll just wait and pitch this live. Maybe it'll fly, maybe it won't. But if we are looking at something, we're looking at a miracle with Google stumping up half a mil.
Yep.
Tiny little profit.
That's a tiny little profit there.
Keep that on the table.
Definitely
interested in that. Yep. That'd be complimentary chicken all round if we could get that.
Yep.
Assuming that's not going to happen, what are we really doing this for? We were doing this to commemorate one-off chicken shops, weren't we? We were doing this to go, let's get out there in black tie and give the award to the best, the best of the best. Are we trying to bring the mountain to Muhammad?
Mm.
Should we take Muhammad's to the mountain?
So we go, we pick our favourite store.
We announce it. We get dressed in black tie.
Yeah.
And if you want to come and meet us for a dinner, for a delicious chicken dinner, we will meet you at the winning store.
Right.
To hand over the trophy.
Yep.
Maybe 5 come, maybe 500 come.
Yep.
Give us a heads up if you're coming. And we do the event at the very place where the event should be, which is the winning
store.
Shop.
Yep.
Conversely, do we make Chicken Fest a globally networked and synchronized black tie event where You pick your favourite store.
Mm-hmm.
You pick your winning store. We'll pick our winning store. But if you have a favourite, we all get dressed up in black tie. And Australia-wide, the listeners of the People's Podcast...
Go to your favourite store.
We go to our favourite chicken shop on that Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
We storm the stores of Australia in black tie. They probably won't know what's going on.
No.
But we hand out the Golden Whole Lot of Chickens Award to our favourite, who we have chosen.
Yep.
But if you would also like to make an award and take it to your local chicken shop, you can do that too. And we create a global movement
That's
of black tie wearing chicken shop dining customers across Australia.
From a numbers perspective, you make far less of a loss.
Do you? We'll shout our store. You come to our store, we'll pay for that.
Wow. That's a loss.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not as bad as an $80,000 loss.
True.
Like, that's
true.
That's something,
that's something
that
for the listeners. Yeah,
we can dig into the budget.
Has anyone ever put a tab on the chicken shop?
First ever chicken shop tab.
We're going to put a tab on the bar. Tab on the counter.
Put a tab on the chicken shop.
That's a great idea. Put a tab on the... Yeah, okay. I do like this because it was really giving me a lot of headaches trying to work out with Sarah how to... Look at Sarah. Thumbs up. Loves the idea.
He's happy with that.
Peking Duck will be disappointed.
Let's bring them. Let's ask the boys anyway.
Okay. We'll ask them.
They might come and play quietly in the corner.
Yeah.
Not quietly, but like, you know, at a chicken shop level.
So let's... Here's another pledge.
Yeah.
So let's next week announce what day it's going to be.
Or what model we've chosen.
Yeah.
Because we've got three models at the moment. Mm. The giant, almost impossible festival model.
Yep.
But that could be saved by a Google.
Yep.
Let's
give them a week to get back to us.
Give any big corporations a week to get back to us.
5 business days.
We've got the $1 a minute model.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Where you get
the greased up velodrome
and you cross the boundary, you're on the clock. It's up to you to have fun and enjoy yourself.
But get out while you can.
But you've got to get your food, and you will know full well behind the scenes we've choked off the supply of food and beverages and access to toilets and things like that to keep you on the grounds for longer because we need you there for 115 minutes.
Yep.
And we've greased up the escape ramps. Mm. So there's that.
That's a tough one.
And then there is the Australia-wide black tie, Whole Lot of Chickens, multi-venue awards night and celebration of one-off chicken shops.
Means
a black tie event. Black tie formal event. Think about it. You get dolled up, go out to your fave chicken shop.
Yep.
It'd be an amazing night.
People overseas can enjoy it. They might be having chicken in the morning.
You're right.
But if we have a coordinated time, which works on a lot of multiple time zones, so we can all share.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you create, then you know, people will be filming it. We'll get a gallery going, get a global movement going.
Yep.
Probably not as big as the climate, while we're talking about fossils, the climate strikes.
No.
Doesn't have to be.
No.
It's not as big as an issue. It's the second biggest issue in the world.
Exactly.
Who's the best chicken shop and how are you going to celebrate them?
It's out of two, or option two or three for me.
So, the dollar a minute.
Yep.
And then the Australia-wide global multi-venue black tie chicken shop night. Celebration night.
Yep. Okay. We'll make a decision by next week.
Yep. That's another pledge.
Hey, a few weeks back now, I had playing golf in Scotland.
Oh, lovely. Yes.
And was driving down to England
through
all the hills where they would have battled.
Yeah, that is a bit strange, isn't it?
You go to
these countries and there's like proper battles.
You go past castles like, someone would have tried to storm that. 100%. Probably got a bit of boiling oil on their 100%. Face.
Or, I don't think there would be a castle built that didn't have, someone had one crack at it. And word would spread, you can't crack this one.
If you could,
word would spread too and then, you know, then the castle's probably not there anymore. It was too crackable.
Exactly. So then you go through, castles, I was like, okay, I get that something's gone down there.
Yep.
Because that happened. But then there's lots of rolling hills at the top of England where there were battles. You see a sign that said battle for this and that.
Yep.
How did they know where to meet?
It was all organised. That was a crazy thing.
That's why I don't know.
They were like, come and meet on Briars Hill.
So
from what I understand, in medieval times, it was like a gentlemanly version of let's take this outside.
Right.
So it wasn't,
Yes, of course, as you're walking out to the car park, you can kick the guy in the knees and pull his T-shirt over his head and dab
him. Even like...
But it wasn't like, we're not going to...
Out the front or out the back. Like, let's say...
But they would say, like, we're going to have it on Friars Hill. And then, like, we're north side, you're south side.
Right.
We'll kick off about 9.
Because it was so hilly that I was thinking, surely there was moments where people are going, is this Friars Hill? Like, I'm pretty sure.
There's
couple of thousand soldiers that are pretty cold.
I think
and
in fields and stuff, I'm sure there would have been, and maybe a historian can write in and correct us, but I'm sure there would have been for each side some sort of operations manager who would inspect the battleground beforehand and go, like, we're not playing on this.
But
or,
then,
yeah, you haven't re-sodded the surface.
So Braveheart, for instance,
yep. They
went early and they poured oil all the way through the field and then they shot fire at it.
That is cheating.
Well, that's what I was saying. So if it's meant to be gentlemanly,
well, I mean,
someone's going, hey, meet at the field. We're like, all right, but you've chosen.
Got to remember, though.
Actually, we'll choose our own field.
Well, like, even American Civil War, they all just lined up and shot at each other. And it was then someone somewhere said, well, what about hot? Can we go behind a wall? I mean, we've all got guns. I mean, I don't want to be a wuss, my lord, but I think I would prefer to shoot from behind a wall.
Can a historian tell me whether two armies sat at Wrong Mountains, in a little valley going, I swear it was meant to be
I bet you there would be many battles where people turn up to the wrong spot. Many, many. A lot of people are illiterate too, so how are you going to read the invite?
And
it's not even an invite, is it? I mean, it'd be sternly worded. It'd be more like a fine from the council.
Normally they send a minstrel or something to sing a song about.
It would have been a minstrel. Game of Thrones has taught us anything. They usually just send someone with their head cut off on a horse.
Yeah.
And it would be stabbed into their back. Meet me at Friars Hill. Bring your army. It's going to be an army showdown, like a war, or more of a battle.
And they go, how have they spelled Friars Hill? Because aren't there two of them?
Yeah. Is that Irish spelling or the English one? God, I don't know. Send a minstrel.
Hey, this whole thing got flipped on its head this morning.
Absolutely shambolic day here at the Hamish and Andy headquarters. You think you're coming in to do something.
Yeah.
And then, suddenly, I guess like an air traffic controller.
Yeah.
Or actually... You know,
hopefully everything
hopefully
goes
not,
to plan for them.
But you've got to be
weather,
ready.
Weather.
Yeah, I don't like weather.
joining us in our studio in Sydney is Jake. Jake, how are you?
Ahoy, boys. Happy birthday, Andy.
Ahoy, no need.
Jake.
And ahoy back to you.
Thank you for lightning our load.
Jake, bring everyone up to speed.
Mm-hmm.
We talked to you last week. You say that you can type at 120 plus words per minute.
Yep.
Faster than 99% of the population. You don't need autocorrect. You don't even have to look at the keys. We talked about blindfolding you.
The chuckling, that's how smug you are.
Yeah, exactly. And so that was going to be the test today to see whether you could earn yourself a coin.
Now, obviously, Jake, when talent like this approaches the show, there's a bunch of chat amongst the gang here pre-show. God, how's he going to be? You know, do you reckon he's got more fingers than normal? All the usual questions. There's some buzz amongst the team. The team's got a spring in their step.
Yep.
And that's, Jack, you'd say that was the vibe, wasn't it?
The vibe was, that. Spring in our step.
Spring in our step. We wheeled in extra water coolers so we could all move around the room and gossip around them and just start getting our vibe up.
I'm glad there was some hype.
Huge amount of hype. There was one man, though, on the team who shunned the hype.
Oh.
And that's why this whole thing's been turned on its head.
He turned to us and went, I could do that.
Yeah, he goes, FYI, I can bang out 120 WPS.
Yeah.
WPMs.
Yeah.
Easy.
Who's this challenger?
Radio Mike, great question.
Is his name. Radio Mike / Podcast Mike.
Yep.
He works with us here. He's a member of Jack's band as well. So Jack, you can see sort of Jack going, dude, what are you doing?
Shut up.
We're meant to be a unified front. We're all, like, read the play. We're all enjoying the buzz. But Mike stepped up and he said, I'm not impressed.
Mm.
And so what it's actually turned into here, Jake, is... Mm-hmm. I guess like the end of Avengers Endgame, haven't seen it, but I understand that at the end there's a game.
They all sit down and type.
It's Thor v. Iron Man.
They're on the same team.
Yeah, and that's the twist. Bit of a spoiler alert for those that haven't seen it, which includes me. We've now got two titans of the universe, of the typing universe.
Come on in, Mike.
Head to head, Mike's coming in.
Yep, Mike is
Mike.
Hello, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure.
It's a pleasure. It's also your job.
Mike, the rules are pretty simple, guys. Mm-hmm. The way we're going to run it is Hamish is going to read out
a paragraph.
Yep. We've taken an excerpt from How to Fix a Septic Tank.
Yep.
So I hope neither of you guys have been reading that Google entry closely and you'd be cheating.
Not recently, no.
But and can I say, I did Ducks IT at high school.
No, you can't say that.
Well, you said high school, so it wasn't that good.
Well, that's
school.
Why I have this skill.
Oh, unless it was.
I've been doing this since I was five, mate, so.
Oh, I've been doing it since I was four.
All right. Well, you are both quite young guys, so I reckon we're talking about 2 or 3 years. what's the greatest, since we are in this bit of a fun UFC press conference here,
yeah.
What is the best example you can think of, Jake, where you've typed something so well that it's just shocked onlookers?
Well, I guess it culminated in high school where, similar to what we're doing today, a year 10 maths teacher.
Name him or her.
Miss Ho. She also happened to type fast. Yeah. And all the students in our class sort of thought, yeah, we better put you guys up against each other. Yeah. So got off to a flyer. I was matching her. I was really, you know, backing up my talk.
And, well, and what was the sample text you were typing against?
Oh, this is, so it's the website 10 Fast Fingers, okay, where you just get random words and you've got to basically type it all out as you go. It was, you know, neck and neck for about 30 seconds. And then I just, you know, kept going, saw the end and a bit of computer lag. Things glitched. I choked it.
Ooh.
Not my greatest moment. But ever since then, it's been a revenge tour of such to get my speed up so that no one can match me typing. And yeah, I guess that's why I'm so competitive
so
about it now.
So it was moment against Miss Ho that spurred you on?
Correct, yeah. Since then, in every high school and uni class, I'm just there trying to dictate and type notes faster and be done before everyone
else.
It's
a great origin story.
Isn't it?
It's like, Mike, do you have a Miss Ho in your life?
No, there was one moment before I worked on this show where I worked at a liquor store and a guy came up to me and said, "Do you sell this product?" I typed it into the system and he looked at me and said, "Wow, you type so fast. I want you to come and work for me to type things up." I'm not joking. Now, obviously, the job never came to fruition, but this did happen. That is a true story.
Where did the guy work from?
I think he worked in an architecture firm.
Okay, good.
Yeah, he just wanted me to type copy for him.
But he's just the kind of guy that he's like, "Look, I have an absolute bullet train of thought, so you better try and keep up because one day I might be interested in buying Jim Beam, and the next day I could be in a bread shop and I might be looking for a poppy seed loaf, and whatever I'm thinking of, I want you to type it up."
He's asked for a 6-pack of BB.
You've ended up working for the CIA.
All right. Well, it's a fantastic.
So we've got one man
feud.
We've got Jake coming off, a cool setback, and that spurs him on. Mm. Mike, just genetically blessed with the fastest fingers on earth,
and a huge endorsement from an unnamed architect.
A headhunt from Dan Murphy's to the depths of ASIO.
Well, this is great. So the way it's going to work is, Hamish is going to read out this paragraph.
Yeah.
When you
is that an appropriate method, guys?
Yeah.
When you have finished, individually you can yell stop, so I can record both times.
Mm-hmm.
We'll then keep an eye on you, and you have to press send immediately from the email. The email will be sent to Jack, and that's when the podcast will stop down.
Mm-hmm.
Hamish and I will walk around the desk with Jack.
Like examiners, I suppose, in year 12. Yep. And we will examine it for mistakes.
Yep.
For typos.
If you have one mistake, you're fine. Two mistakes, you're out.
Mm-hmm. No worries.
Okay.
Well, Mike, I mean, you seem shocked at that. But, I mean, if you really were going to go and work for this guy typing things up, I assume he would have expected a level of accuracy.
I can edit the mistakes on the go. I think,
Mike, if you want a handicap, that's fine.
Yeah. I don't need a handicap. Do you need one?
No, I do this with my eyes closed.
So
I got to say there, Mike, and I love you, but he got you on that. A good response to a burn is not, "No thanks, you are."
Both, can you please turn off your autocorrect?
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, this laptop's from 2009, so I don't think it even has it.
Yeah, you're turning yours off as well.
Correct spelling automatically, I will uncheck that.
Yes,
it is now
you.
Unchecked.
And you've done that as well, Jake, you're in.
Yeah, correct.
Let's fire off the opener and then we'll get into the battle.
Because Jake was born to type. He's a cut above, hitting keys with accuracy, is the thing he loves. But in comes Radio Mike, suggesting Jake is shit.
Yeah.
Now there's a feud between the two, so let's settle it. They're both born to type.
Wow.
Okay.
There's no feud between us. Oh, it's friendly.
It felt pretty feudy before.
I actually see this as Conor McGregor and Khabib. Very fiery in here.
Yeah. I mean, there was that time where Jake threw the typewriter through your bus's window after you were leaving a typing tournament.
Okay. Both hands at the ready.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hamish will now read the words. Do we say how many words we've got here? That's all right,
62
isn't it?
Words.
Yeah, that's not giving anything away. Mm-hmm. We've got 62 words. I will now read them. Are we ready? Is everyone ready?
Ready.
Yep.
The clock will start as soon as Hamish says his first word. Remember to say done at the end.
The next things you hear out of my mouth once I finish this sentence will be the beginning of the paragraph about the septic tank. Here we go. When you flush the toilet, it's easy to disregard the path the water will take once it enters your drainage system. However, if you have a septic tank, it's important you ensure everything is working properly at all times. Septic systems are complicated, especially to the untrained eye. When there is a problem, it's not always obvious where it's originating from.
Done. Sent. Oh, he's so far behind.
Hey, no heckling.
I'm just making up words now. Sent. That's a shocker.
Okay. This is where we stop down and we go across.
This is not my
Jake.
This is Miss method of typing.
This is Miss Ho all again. Return of Miss Ho.
Oh, Mike might have heard you.
I'm just going to say straight out, that was a very terrible effort and I'm not proud.
Okay, that's right. But we'll meet back here in a moment's time.
Yep.
And
How do you feel, Mike?
I feel great after that. Can I ring the bell?
No, because we're not ringing a bell.
We're not ringing the bell.
No, the segment's
at the end
over.
Of the segment. Yeah. We're pausing it it doesn't disrupt our listeners' days.
We'll come back to you guys in one moment.
Okay, we're back. We've examined both submissions. Well,
not
I
really.
Should say we haven't. During that time, Jack was going over the scores. Jake was feeling bad about himself. Mike was gloating. I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah, yeah.
And Mike was saying, Mike yelled out, we should do this every week. And I think I speak for everyone listening to this episode of the podcast when we say, please know that so much of this show has been taken up with speed typing, which is a visual element anyway. Here's what Andrew and I realised. I mean, I went fast, then I tried to go a little slower. What we're actually testing is court stenography.
Yes.
Which isn't really touch typing, I suppose, to the truest sense of the word. Jake, you mentioned that website, 10 Fast Fingers.
Yeah.
Mike, you've been on it all morning.
I was doing it at Dan Murphy's back in the day.
Okay. So, like, good news for all of us that aren't in the speed typing world, there's a website that tests you fairly. Kind of occurred to Andy and I this whole rigmarole of inventing a phrase and then marking it and adding a point, but two mistakes you're out or whatever.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it just be easier if we sent you guys to the website that already exists to test this and that would be the definitive answer? Because you guys would probably want to do that anyway.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that.
Now that we're so deep in this...
You would, Jake.
let's not look a lifeline in the mouth. If you're trapped at the bottom of the well, don't have a go at the brand of rescue cord they've thrown down.
Mike, I know this might seem unfair because you beat Jake by 20 seconds and you did, on the most part, get the whole thing right.
Yep.
But we feel like rather than a stenographer, rather than actually taking down a dictation...
Would it make more sense for you guys to just do that website test? It's in 1 minute, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. It's just 1 minute.
Okay.
So it's literally words per minute.
Yeah. It's words per minute.
And it gives you a score, so we can just put head to head.
But accuracy, it tells you how many words you got wrong, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So do we take those words wrong off the tally?
It calculates accuracy, so it gives you a score based on keystrokes wrong and right, and then outputs that.
We're so deep in this rabbit hole. Okay, so can we just get...
I think you guys just do it. We'll look at the data and assess it.
This is overtaking the show. Have we been recording for an hour? Yeah. It feels like an hour. Okay. Hey, Mike, you big cheat. Can you please refresh the page? Because you're already looking at it and you've already got 10 words in front of you. So
all right.
Can you refresh yours and just start?
Sure thing.
We've got someone in there with Jake.
Yep. And off you go, Jake. And now off you go, Mike.
We might even just cut this bit out with music because it's just been just too long.
Have you finished, okay. Jake?
We finished.
I've finished.
Mike's finished.
Mike, can you please give us your words per minute?
This time, 107.
Yes. With what accuracy?
I didn't see the accuracy.
90.7.
Jake, what's your words per minute?
108 with 77.7 accuracy.
We've got to give it to Mike, I'm afraid.
Yeah, Mike, just to wrap it up. it has taken way too long.
And look, Mike, I was impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed with the speed.
Have you ever had a coin?
No. But can I say, I did hear Jake typing and it was very impressive as well.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, this is nice. Well, I mean, he did get one word more than you.
Yeah, so I'm happy to donate a coin to him, but I don't have to.
No, that's not happening. You can't come on get 70% of typing contest at the same thing. You're the best at it. Yeah.
Hey, look, but can we just say, do you remember what Miss Ho got back in the day? What did she get?
No, I think I might have just ignored it after it finished. Yeah, fair enough. My thing lagged.
Block it out, and now you've got a new bad memory. Replace it with.
So, Jake, in a way, you are a winner because you've been rewarded with even more motivation moving forward in the speeds typing stakes.
Thanks for coming, the coin goes
to the man internally employed by the show. Hey, thanks for coming on.
Sorry, thanks, boys. Cheers.
So brief.
Hey, last week on the show, we flew Jack from South Australia to Victoria to take
25 hot minutes.
Yes, for a quick turnaround trip so he avoided paying for accommodation just so he could prove himself and his special skill, which was identifying any brand of dim sim that is available, available at the supermarket. Jack joins us again now. Jack, obviously a week has passed. How are you feeling about what was a failure at the time but challenged?
Oh, I'm feeling all right about it. I copped a bit of grief from the boys, but, you know, that's all right. I've been all right.
Okay. Hey, it is not whether we eat and fail, it's whether we eat again.
Yep.
And you will eat again. You will eat a dim sim again. Mm. Jack, I think you were responsible for reawakening, certainly in me, a steam dim sim hunger across the nation.
Yeah.
And I've had them twice this week.
I've also had one.
Which one did you get? The Golden Walk one?
Golden Walk. Yeah. I got Golden Walk.
They're the best, mate.
Well, it's rapidly turning into a paid adversity here, and it's not. They're all good, but you ran into some difficulty last week.
Let's clarify, Jack. You mixed up what you believe was going to be a Woolies dim sim, and it was in fact a Coles one. Then you challenged to say that there's a different
taste.
Recipe, a different taste for the South Australian dim sim, Coles dim sim, versus what a Victorian one is.
Because we obviously bought the Victorian version. When you tasted the Victorian Coles dim sim, you said, and I've got the tapes to prove this, I've never had that before in my life. Now in the cold light of day, for you to say you'd never had a Coles dim sim before, I mean, that's just ludicrous to the tune of probably 10,000 dim sims, because you've had many Coles dim sims.
Is that right?
Yes, I had many Coles dim sims leading up to last week, and when I ate that Coles dim sim, when you gave me, it did not taste like what I had.
Okay. So we said, because this was the whole event was teetering on this like false positive or false negative, we said if we can get a Coles representative on the show this week to confirm or deny that there is a possibility that a South Australian Coles dim sim would taste different to a Victorian Coles dim sim, if a Coles representative would back that story up, we would grant you the coin under the Rule 44B of extenuating circumstances of different geographical dim sims or whatever.
Jack, we have a Coles rep standing by. We're going to fade you down. You'll still be able to listen in, but I don't want him jumping in and trying to plead his case. I want this to be impartial.
Yeah, he's on video link from Roman. We've got the sound down. Now, will he walk free and become a coinionaire, or will he go back into dim sim failure jail? We don't know.
Exactly. Joining us now, Ham, is Michael Weldon, Coles development chef, also a MasterChef contestant, so does know his food.
What, this year or?
Oh, Michael, what year?
In the past, Mike?
Yeah, well, a little while ago, 2011, the best season.
It was actually a very good season.
Got it on DVD, haven't watched it yet. saving it for summer. Going to watch it in the ads of the cricket.
Michael, welcome and congrats on that MasterChef season.
Hey, Michael, any claims of corruption there? Because aren't Coles a very big MasterChef sponsor?
They are massive.
But were you a development chef then, or was it the heights of MasterChef fame that got you the gig?
It was. We began a relationship working on events and promoting MasterChef and Coles sponsorship, and then I guess they liked what I cooked.
Oh, they scooped you up.
Come and work for us.
You're all clear.
It's all above board.
Yeah, all above board.
You have been clear. They didn't give a Coles employee a slot on MasterChef.
No.
Okay, that's better.
Not that far.
That's better that it was that way around. Okay.
We have,
so Michael,
a couple of questions.
Did you hear our conversation with Jack just now or not? Okay.
No.
Okay.
I want him to remain impartial. So, Michael, right. here's my first question.
Yes.
Are you familiar with the Coles Dim Sims?
I am.
Right. Do you know the chef in charge of them?
I know who's responsible for them. Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
This is the big question. Is there a different recipe for the Coles Dim Sim served in a South Australian chain versus the Coles Dim Sim served at a Victorian Coles?
I reserve the right to follow that question up.
No. Same recipe from Port Adelaide to Port
City. Right. Wow, okay.
Made in the exact same place.
Is there one centralised kitchen?
There is. There's one centralised location where they come from.
Now, the dim sims are obviously transported frozen.
They are.
Is it a longer journey for one state than another? Are they made in South Australia or are they made in Victoria?
I can reveal they're made in Victoria.
Okay.
I won't give away too many secrets.
Oh no, you can't tell us where. The next thing you know, you have 100,000 people descending on like a bloody Area 51 raids.
Exactly.
Show us the dim
exactly
sims.
Right.
They can't stop us all.
Steal the recipe. Yeah.
The dim sim heist.
We wouldn't do that to you. But
no, so they're made in Victoria.
Right. Okay. So we bought our dim sims
closer to the South Australian border. I don't want exact, but I just we're talking about the logistics of a truck traveling.
Yeah.
Is there a possibility that through the transport, whether it's longer in a freeze or a different temperature freeze, or they're going through a different handling station,
yep,
is there a possibility that that could result in a taste difference?
No. They are frozen from pickup to delivery,
mm-hmm,
unless Jack left them on his bench for 3 days.
We can't control that.
We were in charge of...
Although we weren't in charge of Jack's. So Jack's standing by. We haven't let him speak till now because we thought he'd protest. But
so
Jack,
are the Coles... Is there one kitchen that produces Coles Delicious Dim Sims nationally?
Yes.
There you go. Right. Jack, you've heard it, mate. You've heard it from Michael. He's questioning your preparation, not ours.
My preparation, Coles Dim Sims for a couple of weeks beforehand, so I pretty know the taste of Coles Dim Sims, and what I tasted that day was, it had something, a bit of herb, a bit of lemongrass, and it was something that put me off. It just led me off the trail.
Mm. Not untasty, just different.
A new herb.
It didn't taste like a Coles Dim Sim.
Michael, we understand, Jack. We certainly understand your point, and I applaud you for digging in.
Yeah.
Michael, is there a chance, you know what it's like to be a chef in one of these dim sim kitchens, that
I do.
You're making a batch, you're coming up on 5 o'clock on a Friday, you're feeling good. You know from a cost perspective you shouldn't add lemongrass because it's an extra expense, but you're feeling generous. Would you ever sprinkle a bit of a herb in, like a golden ticket, a bit of something extra in a dim sim for a few lucky customers?
I don't think so. There will obviously be, slight variations, seasonality on some of the vegetables in there, but there definitely shouldn't be lemongrass in there. There might be cabbage that tastes stronger than others or stronger onions, but definitely not lemongrass.
Is it possible that Jack got hit by an unusually strong batch of onions in that?
It
happens.
It could be, but it does sound very...
convenient.
Convenient. Jack, I do think that's what's happened. I think you unluckily have been at the hands of an unseasonably strong batch of onions.
Stitch me up. Stitch me up.
No one stitched you up. We went, Jack, and that's why I wanted Jack kind of turned down for most of the debate with Michael. But Jack, no one sits you up.
This is not a conspiracy.
We love your passion for Dim Sims, particularly the Coles brand. But
it's just going to be one for the ages, and I think a strong onion is probably who's to blame. So, Jack, you will, the token of no value will stand as your prize for the segment.
No coin for you, Jack. Do you take that on the chin?
Oh, yeah, I take it on the chin, but Hamish did say there'll be no interstate factory mix-up, so he said that on a free first phone call.
Yes, when we were saying interstate factories, we thought there might have been two factories. There's a singular...
I was trying to weasel my way up to a coin, but it didn't work, then, did it?
No.
First thing you've got right all day.
Michael, thank you very much for joining us.
Jack, you remain one of the best. Thank you so much for your help, mate. Yep. Congrats again on season 11 of MasterChef, out now on DVD.
2011,
sorry.
Thanks, boys. Enjoy.
Ando, a couple of months ago on the show, I let people inside a move that is, I believe, a signature move that I've invented. I encourage others to practice and perfect, to be used in a casual dining situation, breakfast, lunch, or dinner. If you are at a restaurant or a cafe and you feel the urge suddenly, and it has to be a crippling urge to go a number two, and you think to yourself, okay, we all know the unspoken cultural convention if someone's away for quite a long time from the toilet, the whole table's thinking, this guy's doing a poo out his bum. And with, like it or not, consciously or subconsciously, that is the image people will have of you. They know what you're up to.
And when you return,
they know what you've done.
Yep.
They know what you've done. If you don't like that level of surveillance, and in this age of digital privacy and personal privacy, sometimes people don't want that level of data being known about them. If you would like to hide that level of data, you can try and perform what is known as the gone in 60 seconds, which is a technique I patented and I'm very, very happy to share with the world, where you can say, you say to the table, excuse me, guys, I've just got to go for a wee, and you hop up. And in that, you now have a 60-second window in which to enter the toilet, perform a poo, clean up yourself.
Of course.
Perform poo in the toilet, goes that saying.
Yeah.
Clean up yourself, wash your hands, get everything done, get back to the table within 60 seconds, a time most normal people would conceive it to be impossible to poo, thus backing up your claim that you're going for a wee. It is certainly a move easier said than done.
Mm.
I understand that. And I started receiving emails on my side of the fence. I'm not sure if you saw
yours. I got a couple. Sorry, I should have forwarded them all.
No, and then I see a few direct messages on Instagram. There's that page that I don't often go to, but something caught my eye in the direct messages. Someone said, hey, best I can manage with a GISS is 114. And it took me a while to realize. I was like, what is this message on about? I went, he's abbreviated gone in 60 seconds. I would have done a GI60S rather than GISS, but I figured out what he was talking about.
Do you like an acronym? Do you like a GISS, or would you prefer it to call the GIS?
I've always just called it a gone in 60 seconds. Yep. And
don't want it shortened.
I don't mind seeing the digit 60 in there but I get what you're talking about for people that are writing in. And it struck me a couple of people are in the same boat, ranging from a minute 10 to a minute 20, no matter how hard they tried. That's where they were landing.
And sometimes the key is not trying that hard.
Well, Ando, you're absolutely right. Mm. Landing 70 to 80 seconds. And I thought, okay, well, I released my initial range of self-help tapes that taught everyone the technique.
Yes.
Is it time I released a remedial course?
Yeah, okay.
Or a help course?
Yeah.
Because it's all...
beginners.
It's all well and good to just come out and go, here's how you be a professional. But if people are struggling and they can't get their time down...
Yep.
I think it's my responsibility as the leader of this, not a cult, leader of this movement, literally, this bowel movement, it's my responsibility to step up, release another tape, another cassette. I won't play the whole thing because it runs for hours and hours and hours, and there's a lot of meditations on there and role players. Sure. But again, I can play a sample, and if people are interested in it, they can jump online, buy the cassette. I think the easiest way to get a sample is I just hit play and then fast forward a bit.
Great. Okay, cool.
Hello, speed turders, and welcome to the final 15, or how to get your gone in 60 seconds time from 70 to 80 down to that magic sub-60 mark. In this series of tapes, we'll do everything you need to shave precious seconds off your approach, your push, your flush, your finish, and your washing stages to leave you a whole lot lighter and your guests none the wiser. Okay, in this special 9-hour cassette, you're going to get lessons, you're going to get meditations, you're going to get exclusive audio to a couple of my best Gone in 60 Seconds. You're going to get the lot, friends.
Yeah, definitely. That's the intro.
Chapter 4, great. Going slow to go fast. US Navy SEALs have a saying that slow is smooth and smooth is fast. Nothing could be truer for the Gone in 60 Seconds. The GISS is a dance, it's a ballet, and each move must be gracefully finishing as the next begins. So, you're undoing your belt, okay, but are you descending yet? So you're descending to the toilet, okay, but have you already opened the bomb bay doors? Right, you've opened the bomb bay doors.
Yeah. Reinforcing some stuff.
Yep.
Chapter 7. The blockage isn't in your ass, it's in your mind. A lot of people complain that their bum takes too long to cooperate, but this is a mental block as much as a physical one. After completing the Gone in 60 Seconds many times hooked up to an MRI machine, scientists found that my prefrontal cortex was as active as an astronaut during a very difficult launch sequence, yet my heart was as calm as a hibernating bear during the depths of winter. That is...
Oh, I wanted to get more of that, sorry.
Now take off your brown clothes and you can stop pretending to be the poo. Well done. That's the final lesson. Congratulations. You are now ready to go sub 60. Keep trooping and happy fast pooping.
Great. I mean, I'm for one, I'm going to go order the full 9 hours.
Yeah, you should. Yeah, it's worth the full listen, but you get a little sample of everything you'll be walked through step by step. Yep. Let's get those times down.
Yep.
And let's keep those suspicions far, far away from you.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.
Listener.